Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head. Yeah, boy, it's episode 153, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to all fantasy auction. You can find us on Twitter, we're at Fantasy Auction. Tonight, we're going to talk about the NFC East. One of us is here, and two of us are here, and the other one might show up as he pulls in from his group. From hosting the grade 8 graduation. So let's just introduce the only guy that's here. Proud new papa, Slim. How's it going tonight?
It's going good. Everyone's asleep, so that's good.
That's good.
I'm gonna talk some football with an adult and enjoy some of Ontario's fine craft beers.
Awesome.
I actually picked up little six-pack of random Ontario craft beers, so I'm excited to be
Didn't I used to get trash-talked a little bit for my pretentious beers, and now you, as a new father?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, it's a little treat I like to give myself once in a while. I was, actually, I'll be honest, part of it, I hadn't been in the big new cooler at the liquor store in a long time to see what they had. And now that my wife had this baby, she wanted me to go and pick up a bottle of red wine. So when I was in there, I thought, hey, I'm just going to go in here and see what they got. And I ended up building a little six-pack of some tall boys.
And well, it's good stuff. I mean, I got what used to be a kind of a pretentious beer in Ontario, the Sweeman's Honey Brown Lager tonight. So...
Yeah, that was pretentious back in, like, the late 90s, hey? You were, like,
that
guy. If you rolled into a party with Sleem and his honey brown. Actually, side note, I went to university with the son of the owner of that brewery.
Oh, and there you have it. Look at that little nugget. I like that. How's everything going at home, though, Slim? Everybody's healthy and good?
Everyone's doing awesome, yeah. It's been good. This kid is, like, I don't know. He's unbelievable compared to the hellion that we had the first time. All he does is sleep and eat and never cries. It's unbelievable. This is what parenting
kind of like me.
It's the John Gibson of babies. Is what I've been telling people. It's the most, he's the most chill baby I've ever encountered.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully, it has nothing to do with John Gibson, though. That's all I'm saying.
That would be weird if it did.
Yeah, that would be weird.
For a lot of people.
Anyways, Slim, I wanted to, before we get into NFC talk, I'm in the middle of a rookie draft here, slow draft, and I'm on the clock with back-to-back picks, and I just wanted to bounce a couple things off you. I know this isn't a dynasty pod, but most people who are listening right now are probably involved in some sort of dynasty, especially this time of year. Well, I guess it's actually getting a little bit late for rookie drafts now, but I got it started a little late, I guess. This is the Friends and Family League, Slim, the guys I have everywhere from Calgary, Alberta, the home of Brett the Hitman Hart, to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. We've got it's worldwide international stuff going on here. And we've got the draft has just got underway on Monday. Now, these guys, I will say, never played fantasy before. Well, sorry, they played some fantasy before, never played dynasty before.
Yeah.
And it's a 10-man PPR, quarter point per carry, multi-super flex. It's got a couple of little things in it. But interesting draft. Let me just give you a quick little rundown. I had the 101, of course. And I took Corey Davis because that's who you have to take. No trading going on so far with any of the picks. So the second pick goes to Christian McCaffrey, and the Vikings fan at 3 takes Dalvin Cook. So Leonard Fournette falls to 4. Hammer gets him at 4. followed by Mixon, and then the 106 was Kareem Hunt. Any discussion about those top six, which is usually the dynasty tier there?
Yeah, I hate the Kareem Hunt pick. It's six. But other than
yes.
that, I mean, you can say what you want about taking Cook at three. If you like him, take him then, I guess.
Yeah, go get him.
You could discuss pros and cons of any of those guys in that range.
He is the Latt Murray owner also.
Yeah, I figured he would be. I know who you're talking about as this Vikings yeah. fan. He probably has Diggs and Phelan too.
No, I have Diggs. I have Diggs. Actually, two Vikings fans in this draft. One, I should have tried to, well, yeah, I should try to make some moves there. So anyway, so then at seven is the other Vikings fan, the local Vikings fan, takes Zay Jones.
Zay, wow. Buddy.
Yeah, a little high, I thought. O.J. Howard at eight, Evan Ingram at nine, and rounding out the first round at 10 was Alvin Kamara. I just thought Zay Jones is probably a little high at seven.
Yeah, if you're going to go wide receiver, you might as well take Mike Williams, I suppose. Actually, I would probably take John Ross. But anyway, I know that Johnny goes in round two. But.
Yeah, so moving into round two, we've got it is an IDP. So Jamal Adams, first IDP off the board, far too early. Cooper Kupp, 202. P. Ryan at three. Curtis Samuel at four. We have our first linebacker, Jarrad Davis at the 205. And at the 16th pick overall is Mike Williams. Slim.
Well, I'm not a big Mike Williams fan, but at that juncture, I would probably have to strongly consider taking him.
Well, I think
again,
the 16th pick,
I would have still taken John Ross over Mike Williams and not to get too far ahead, but David Njoku, I would have taken over him too, and I think that this will lead us into what's coming here.
So I've got, so next up at 207 is Juju. John Ross goes at 208. First quarterback on the board, Trubisky, goes at 209. And now I'm back-to-back picks here, Slim. So I thought it might be interesting for us to kind of walk through that. I like Njoku there. Back-to-back here, so.
Wow. Njoku's a no-brainer. Love
right.
the guy. Think he's a, I mean, yeah. Loved everything. I was high on him, even in our 12-team dynasty rookie draft. I tried hard to slide back into the late first during our draft to get him. He was sitting there around 110 still and couldn't do it. But so I think at the late, what are you, at the 10th pick in your second round, last pick in your second
yeah.
round, it's 10-team.
Yeah.
This is a phenomenal value. I would do that in a second. Now, with Superflex, that's a little interesting because
it's super flex. My quarterbacks right now are Big Ben and Stafford and Tyrod Taylor. I'm pretty stacked at tight end now with Njoku there because I have I got Gronk as we talked about a prior pod. I have Eric Ebron and Kyle Rudolph also.
Ooh.
So it's not too shabby. My running backs are the lighter area, but we only have to start one. So I do have Todd Gurley in there, and I have Eddie Lacy for whatever that's worth. Gio Bernard, which is okay. Rex Burkhead, whatever. And I do have Theo Riddick also.
Yeah, yeah, you're fine.
Nothing too fancy there, but...
Man, if I was you, I would be making a big push for someone like David Johnson. I would trade Gurley and, like, whatever, I don't know, one of those tight ends. Hell, maybe even Gronk. So here you go. Here's Gurley and Gronk.
At wide receiver, I have Dez and Amari Cooper, Diggs, Adrian Green. I've got Sammy Watkins. I got Willie Snead.
You said AJ Green?
Yeah.
What the fuck? How? Was no one else at the draft?
Okay, well, let's recap quick. Remember, I had the 101 in the startup. I traded back. I got 108 and the 203 for the 101.
Yeah.
Mike Evans almost fell to me at 8. He went at 7. So I took AJ Green at 8. And then I came back with Amari Cooper at 203. Then I had my end of the round pick, and I believe I took there. I didn't get Gronk until the 5th, but I do have Kevin White. I got Perriman in there too. I got Devontae Parker, Tyler Lockett, and Corey Davis. I just drafted too.
I don't have my other new kid as a dependent on my life insurance yet. I'm my health coverage. I'm gonna have a heart attack listening to.
I know. They started going into IDP again, new to Dynasty, right? They started getting into IDP. So then I just kept going receiver, 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 receiver. And then I went at the end for IDP. I got Everson Griffin, Ryan Shazier, and Telvin Smith. And then Keith Tandy as a safety. And, I mean, those are going to move week to week probably anyways. See, my linebackers aren't bad. You only have to start one at each position, so.
No, if it was me, I'd be taking a joke easy, and I would probably be going Godwin. But with Superflex, I don't know. Like, for me, with the quarterback class this year, I was just never really confident in any of them. And
yeah.
Like, Trubisky's gone. So, I mean, I like Mahomes. I like Kaiser. I don't care for Watson too much. But I just don't know if now's the point to take either of those guys.
No, and I think I should sit on them. So,
yeah, I would just... Njoku and Godwin are the best players available on my board. And then for me, it kind of starts to drop off a little bit. But I would just snatch those two guys up, and then I'd be looking to trade with the rest of those other guys and just smash, get a top running back, and just
get an RB.
Start just beating them.
All right. Just start laying
all year. Wow. I don't know, man. Those receivers are, like, freaking sick.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. All right, so I just followed your advice. I took Godwin there. I took Njoku already. So I'm going to be sitting here for a couple of rounds now. And away we go.
Yeah, you're going to have some guys coming at you at the top of the board. Oh, no.
I'm at the bottom of the board. The best thing about this league here so far, though, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe they're not very experienced fantasy players, but I did get a text from one of my buddies, and his comment was that I saved our friend group from high school, that we'd never talked, we were old, and this, and having a common app for us to share, which for us is a line app, has brought everybody back, and now they're talking about reunions, and it's so that part is, I guess, another reason why you play fantasy football.
You can not only win
what's that?
All the money, you can not only win all the monies, but you can still rekindle old relationships. Look at that.
That's
going to be win-win for you.
Look who just signed on.
Hey,
Mr. Blister. Blister, how
I've been
was
here for 10 minutes.
I have the screen off.
I knew that was what was going on. I didn't want to interrupt you. Grad was fine. It was good. They're having a big camp out now tonight, so I have to go in the morning and make breakfast.
They're on a camp out?
Yeah.
Camping out in the bush. Classroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Big sleepover.
You got Rick Astley...
Rick's spearheading it.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. And the kids will be fine. I'm more worried about him.
Now, the best part about him, though, is that, you know, he's never going to give up, right? I mean, sorry.
That's right.
That's Anyways,
you can rickroll every listener
right now.
That little audio clip.
Blister, we're going to talk about NFC East. We actually made a little move as you weren't here. So we went into what Slim was researching. So it should be shared with you. A folder there called NFC, maybe.
Share it with me now.
No, it's not.
Council. Mind drive.
Blister, and there it is. NFC East breakdown.
Oh, just wow! Is that pretty? Look at all the emblems.
That goes on the site, right? And you did the old template. That's okay.
That's nice.
It's pretty to go on the site.
Oh yeah, that's nice. Did you cut and paste all my information? Hopefully.
No, I haven't. So, I haven't done it yet. Done the Toronto trip, eh?
Yes. So, are you just starting this?
We're just starting. Yeah, we just did a live two picks on the Dynasty.
Yeah.
And Slim talked about me maybe clacking some folks my roster.
Yeah, the early indications, what you showed me the other day, I almost died. I need to get some.
Well, just so you know, John Ross just went at 208 and Mike Williams at 206.
This is just a dynasty draft?
Yeah. Hey. Well, the rookie draft.
Wow.
When Nurinski comes home this summer, I'm going to sit down with him and coach him up. He's going to be pumping you with trade offs.
He's going to be using. He'll be using the algorithm for all the drafting needs. So, anyways. All right. Let's get out of dynasty talk. Let's get into auction talk. All right.
Okay.
All right. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we're going to break down NFC East this week after we did this little dynasty talk because, it is the season. Anyways, on the website, we will have rolling soon the membership site where you're going to have all the breakdowns for you. I will post a couple of freebies on there so you can have a little what type of work we're offering inside the membership area. So Slim did some NFC breakdowns last week. If you missed it, we released two pods, I guess 2 weeks ago now, released two pods breaking down on both AFC divisions. And Slim, you took a look at the NFC and got us dialed in there, right?
Yeah, I've been starting to go through team by team and just starting to look at who some of kind of the potential values and guys that maybe you want to be targeting in your drafts at various price points and things like that. So, yeah, it's kind of the I don't want to say the tedious part, but it's definitely the part. I actually don't mind doing it, but it does take a lot of time. But to me, it's real important for you to know these are the guys that everybody knows. Zeke Elliott is a target for everybody's team. He's good. But it's the guys that are going to win you your leagues are going to be these guys that are really values that are going to help produce their current AAVs. So these are the ones that we need to find. The guys that do consistently well are good at identifying these guys and loading their rosters up with them.
Right. All right. So, well, let's transition right into Zeke's team. First team on the list here is the Dallas Cowboys. So as we go through this, we take a look at some of the moves and the studs and the value picks, the breakouts and the busts, and then any other kind of news and notes around the team. So, Slim, when you're taking a look at the Cowboys, what did you see?
So when I do my breakdowns, I try and highlight, one steady producer, call him a stud, if you will, one guy who can typically be had at a value at his relative price point in drafts. And then I look for one guy who's going to break out maybe a little bit past what we're expecting and what we've seen in the past, and then one guy who I kind of call a bust that I'm typically looking to avoid. So the one guy, I guess, that stood out to me was Cole Beasley. Pretty sneaky stat line last year. He actually led the Cowboys in targets. He had 98 last year. He finished as the wide receiver 32. Now, just to put this into context, I'm going to be talking in PPR terms.
Right.
Pretty much every league I play in is PPR. So I try and when I write these up, it's geared towards PPR format. But, yeah, he had 98 targets, 75 catches, 833 yards, 5 TDs. And for a guy who's essentially free, to me, these are one of these guys, like, I want him as my wide receiver 5 or 6 on my team, for when bye weeks are happening, when injuries happen, things like that. Plus, I think that another year with Dak Prescott as a quarterback, is only gonna help build a little bit more chemistry. Maybe defenses start to cue a little bit more on Zeke, and he has to pass a little bit. I was looking at some of Dak's passing stats last year, more so when I was trying to break down Dez, and I was surprised at how, for a rookie, how efficient he was, especially like throwing a ball deep and things like that. I was surprised by that, so it made me rethink a lot of the things I was thinking about Dez actually going for this year, and I actually bumped Dez as a breakout. Because of that. So, yeah, Cole Beasley. I think he'll be able to lock in with Dak quite a bit, especially with Whitten getting older. Beasley's pretty athletic and a very good slot receiver.
Well, I think, Blister, if you take a look at it, I think Slim makes a good point on Dak. I thought that a lot of the quote-unquote the experts and analysts are pretty hard on him and just say, you know, I've been talking more that he's a game manager, and I think he actually seems like a pretty decent quarterback.
Well, yeah, he had a great year last year. I mean, a breakout, and was arguably as much a rookie of the year candidate as Zeke was in the end. And I mean, obviously, they don't have Tony Romo there anymore because of Dak's ability to play. So, you know, I think he's a quarterback you're going to still. Like you just said, you can pick him up in your auction. I bet you he's a dollar quarterback if you want to stream him or if you want to start him. You probably can't go wrong either way, but definitely someone to keep an eye on. And if you're going to be playing the late round, low budget quarterback, then Dak is definitely going to be a guy you're going to probably have in your roster.
So, Slim, do you crank up Beasley because a little bit of a decline with Witten as well?
I wouldn't even say I'm necessarily cranking Beasley up. I think I'm just, he's just on my radar as a guy who's, not on most people's. He often gets overlooked, and I'll be honest, I think because he's this small white dude, he doesn't make explosive plays, but he's very agile, he runs good routes, and I want a guy who's gonna get, you know, 6-8 targets every week, and, you know, no, obviously no one's taking him as your wide receiver one, but if I'm sitting at the end of my draft with $5 left to buy 3 players, then he's a guy I'm going to target because I know I'm probably going to get him for, you know, $2 in most of my drafts. So yeah, it's not necessarily, with the whole offense in Dallas, I don't think anyone takes necessarily a huge step back. I mean, yeah, Whitten is old, but he's shown he can do what he does despite his age. He's just a seasoned route runner. He's like watching a guy trying to rebound in basketball. He just uses his ass to box people out and gets open. He's not beating you with his speed. He just knows how to get open. And yeah, he could take a step back, but at the same time, you know, we're hearing reports that Rico Gathers is gaining steam and things like that. So if he does regress, yeah, sure. Could Beasley pick up some of that slack for sure. I'm not anticipating a huge uptick for Beasley, but I just like what he offers and how efficient he can be in that offense. I think the biggest thing to look for. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I don't think that he sees more than 100 targets. He was at 100 targets last year. That's a pretty big market share.
Yeah, I honestly have a hard time seeing him get over 100 as well. But I, you know, he should be close. And maybe if he does, it could be just slightly over 100. But I think the biggest thing will be what defenses decide to do with Zeke. How do they try and play him? And does that make the Cowboys throw a little bit more? Maybe they do take the reins off of Dak a little bit too. But I mean, I think they play to their strengths. They have a good offensive line and a pretty talented looking running back. There's no need to be risky with the ball with a young quarterback when you can give it to this guy on the ground and let him do the heavy lifting. So I think it'll be a lot of the same anyways this year.
So looking in that 100 target range, you said you had Dez as a breakout this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is if you just look at, you know, obviously he had a good game going in the playoffs last year. He was targeted 12 times. I don't want to put all my faith into that, but I like that, you know, the young QB started showing some faith in this kind of marquee receiver later on in the season. I think a big part of why he had a down year last year is his catch rate was 52%, which isn't very good. I mean, if he can get that close to 60 or even above, just the year before he was at 65%. So, I mean, just by him catching more passes that he's been, for whatever reason, not catching, if that was inaccuracy or drops, whatever. If he can just get back to that that better catch rate, I mean, he doesn't need even that much more volume, and all of a sudden he's scoring more points. So that's, to me, why I think he can break out. I liked when I started looking at the numbers, some of the things that actually did throwing the ball downfield. I think he was third in average yards per attempt, 8.6 yards. Like, I like that as a rookie, man. Why can't he improve on that a little bit or even just stay there? So I got a big play guy and a quarterback who likes to throw down the ball down the field. If he can just catch a few more of those passes, then that should be more fantasy points. You know, especially, like, let's get in the red zone and see what happens.
Yeah, if I can jump in too on Dez, I think, you know, I think another thing with Dez is he finished as a 40th ranked receiver last year, but he missed three games. And he had another four games that he played that he had under three fantasy points, 0, 2.9, and 1.8. So if you actually look at his average points per game for the whole year still, it was the highest total he had in his career. So he was banged up, obviously, for missing three games. He probably played in, of the 13 he played, he probably wasn't 100% healthy. So if you took his points last year, average points per game, and then added on even the three games that he missed, he would have climbed all the way up to the 18th ranked receiver. So right. I just, like Slim says, if the biggest thing is maybe not so much breakout, but value. I think there's a lot of big name receivers last year that people drafted that really let them down, and people are going to remember that, guys like Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, Dez Bryant, you know, and I think Demaryius Thomas. I mean, the list is pretty long. And I really think this year, you're going to see, if you're snaking, you're going to see them dropping down into the third and fourth rounds. You're going to see awful great value. And in an auction, you know, not all those guys might bounce back to where we expected them to be, but some of them will, and you're going to definitely get them at a discount to what you got them last year. Those guys are, I just mentioned, were going in the 45-plus dollar range last year. I would not be shocked if a lot of those guys, Dez included, goes down closer to 35, 30.
Well, I was just going to ask you that, Blister, because last year we had Dez as a consensus rank of six going into the preseason, and his AAV was about $52. So where do you see that, Blister? I mean, if you were going to be drafting this weekend, which you're not.
Yeah, well, I have him ranked as about the eighth ranked. Actually, I have him as eight, yeah.
This is just from last year's preseason. I'm just trying to compare what he looked like to now.
I definitely have him probably a little lower. I might even have him kind of high, but I do expect him to bounce back, and I have him ranked at eighth right now. The cost right now, I'm going to go for Dez because Cowboys are a little more high-profile team, and there's some diehard fans out there compared to other teams. I'm going to say he's going to go between $35 and $40 for Dez Bryant. I'd like to do some mocks.
Okay.
Do some mocks soon to find out. I did some mocks, but not a mock auction with actual live people. I was so desperate. I did one with the 11 robots the other night just to do one.
All right. So staying with the Cowboys, just to finish it off here, Slim, you've got a bust. Terrence Williams is on the outs in Dallas.
Well, I mean, I just don't think he's a very good actual receiver, to be honest. They don't have much better, unfortunately, there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, he had 44 receptions last year only. We saw he'd been surpassed by Cole Beasley now. And in my opinion, he's still obviously behind Dez Bryant. And he's probably still behind Jason Witten or whoever is going to be their tight end. I just feel like there's always going to be a higher upside than Terrence Williams. It doesn't matter where you're getting him in a draft. Even if you're spending a buck on him, I feel like there's just, I want guys that offer me some upside. And I don't see any really with him. We know what we're going to get. You might miss taking those guys very easily, and that might not score as many points as Terrence Williams, but those guys are going to be so expendable for your team that you have to take the gamble and go for that upside, knowing that you can replace Terrence Williams' production or a player like him with probably a dozen guys off of waivers at any given time. So to me, he's just the ultimate avoid. And he's not alone. I mean, there's lots of guys like him, but in this scenario on this team, to me, he's an easy avoid.
All right. So let's move on through the NFC East here. Let's take a look at the New York Football Giants. As Slim, they had some pretty big additions in the draft and in free agency, and if their quote-unquote key losses were anywhere near key, I don't think they did too bad cutting some of the dead weight. What do you think about the Giants when you looked at them?
Well, I think they're only going to go as far as Eli Manning goes, to be honest, and I'm not 100% sold on Eli in terms of how consistent he can be. We'll put it that way. I think he's getting up there in age. It looked like age was starting to catch up with him a little bit at the end of last year. That concerns me. What's he going to do for a full 16 games again this year? So, but I think he's going to be the catalyst for sure this offense. They got enough weapons that if he can get them the ball, then good things can happen.
Blister, Eli Manning, he's still not a dollar quarterback, even though he was QB20 last year, right?
Well, I think he is. I mean, there is promise, but I think he's been declining. And they put a lot of weapons around him, like Slim mentions in the article. But, you know, I just don't know if he's still got it. If he can't produce this year with the number of weapons he has, then I guess it's time to just leave him on your waiver wires. But, I'm not willing myself to pay more than a buck for Eli.
All right. And so, Slim, you're going to pay a few bucks probably for some additions that they had this year. Well, maybe not all the additions, but Brandon Marshall in particular. What do you think about the move there, and what does that do for his fantasy value?
I think it kind of keeps him right where he was a bit last year. To me, again, he's another guy that, to me, it looked like he was starting to show a little bit of signs of aging, which is natural. What worries me when you start to show these signs, though, that it can be really abrupt at how, you know, fast you just become mortal again, just like the average Joe athlete. So I do worry about that a little bit, but I'll be honest, I don't really love their run game. I'm not sure how great their whole line is going to be in terms of run blocking. So I think there's a chance for volume there, and I like the fact that if they are in the red zone, I think, and this is a knock on Odell Beckham, I think that Brandon Marshall, though, does become their number one red zone threat, only because defenses will key on Beckham and because of Marshall's size. And we've seen it in the past that he can be used in that area of the field. And, so, yeah, I think he does have fantasy value. He, you know, I don't think he's going to get wide receiver one production anymore, but again, you get them for cheap in your draft. I still don't know what that price is going to be. I feel like in some drafts he could go very cheap because I just think that this section of wide receivers, there's just going to be so many of them that it's going to make people not want to spend on any of them, we'll say, especially, you know, if you're in the middle of that horseshoe kind of thing. So
right.
Yeah, it's going to be very draft specific, and it's going to be interesting how a lot of these guys play out as we get through the summer here.
So, Blister, Slim brought up the Giants running game. What do you think about Paul Perkins this year? Is he worth having on your fantasy team?
I think he's worth it. I think he's going to be the starting running back there. The early indications of what I'm hearing is, you know, he's becoming kind of a steal in the drafts. So analysts, experts, whatever you want to say, they're quite high on Perkins. I mean, he hasn't shown a whole lot, but this could be a situation kind of like maybe like an Ajayi or somebody that gets a chance down. If he's healthier, maybe he can really, really produce. I mean, I really look at the list of guys behind him, and nobody scares me all that much. You know, Shane Vereen can't usually stay healthy, but he always is more of a PPR back. The rookie Wayne Gallman, we'll see what he's got. But Sean Drone, Orleans Darkwa, you know, those guys could siphon away carries. If Perkins is ineffective, I think they'll keep going through this carousel until they find out who they got. But I think you can probably get Perkins, you know, right now I think I'd be willing to pay, if it was 12, 14 bucks for him, to get a starting running back and potentially an offense that could move the ball well with all the receiving studs out there. You know, they can't really afford to, they probably won't be stacking any the box anytime soon because of the fact that they got Marshall Shepard and Odell Beckham and, you know, now Evan Ingram too, another guy. So, you know, I guess his running room might be there. The touchdowns, that's hard to say. I mean, they have so many options to throw to. Slim mentioned Eli's touchdown total could go up because of so many weapons to pass to. But I definitely think Perkins is a guy to keep watching this through camp. If he can get through training camp, healthy, then I think he's going to get first crack at being the lead back there and hopefully do something with it. Right now, I'm more confident in him doing something with it than not. So I'm leaning on the Perkins bandwagon, I guess you could say.
You're buying the pancakes, is what you're saying?
I'm buying the pancakes, yep.
He's a polarizing player, I think. You listen to a lot of other people talk or write, you know, either they're writing him off or they're like you. They're kind of thinking that it's at least a situation to monitor, right? And it might be a value. He might not be your RB1, but you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get a team's RB1. And that's maybe something worth looking at, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Slim, moving into last year's darling of the draft, Sterling Shepard, he takes a little bit of a hit here with Brandon Marshall and with Evan Ingram joining the team. You've got him listed as a bust for this year heading into 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see what he does well enough for him to carve out enough of a role just to be viable weekly. So, you know, some people will look at his touchdowns that he caught last year. I just don't see that as being sustainable, especially now that guys like Marshall and Ingram have come in. I think Vereen right now is healthy, so he's going to be used more in the short passing game, which would hurt Sterling Shepard's value as well. I just have a hard time seeing there being enough volume for me to want to own Sterling Shepard. And I think that people are still going to be willing to pay a decent price in drafts because he's young and because of the numbers that he put up last year. I'm just not going to fall into that call it a trap, I guess, for me.
All right, well, moving into, to continue talking, I guess, about volume and young receivers, let's take a look at the Eagles now. There's a ton of young receivers they brought in. The Grizzly vet and what was a young up-and-comer into this crowded, murky wide receiving core. So then what about the Eagles? What do you see with them heading into 2017?
Man, I was reading a site today, and man, they were pumping the Eagles' tires a lot. People were saying they have the best defense maybe in the NFL, that they were voted as having the most improved offense. A lot of accolades right now, which we'll see. I mean, I'm not ready to drink that much of the Kool-Aid yet. I think they should be improved. I like what they're attempting to do. I mean, a big part of it, as always, or every team, is it stems with your quarterback. I'm not sure I'm ready to just anoint Carson Wentz. I saw one article that he's predicted as to be in MVP talks, which I can't get behind quite yet. But yeah, I mean, how do you not like them bringing in guys like Alshon Jeffrey? You know, so I like what they're trying to do. We'll see if it all comes to fruition here. They play in a tough division where those games are always slugfests. But yeah, I think they're improved. We'll see how improved they really are, though.
So, Blister, they improved the offense somewhat with the receivers here. Who's going to be the top fantasy receiver on the Eagles?
I think it'll be Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, he disappointed us ever since we took him in that high stakes league. We talked about that already once. I've always hated him ever since then. But you know, Jordan Matthews really hasn't produced the numbers, the consistency that we kind of were hoping for and expected for with that receiving class from a few years back. They bring in Torrey Smith, but I don't know how much he's got left. So I think Alshon is this guy's probably the most talented. He's got the youth. You know, he should be a guy that they look for. I really would not be surprised if Doyle Green Beckham is cut. Nelson Aguilar, we know he's really not all that good at all. So can't expect anything out of him. So my pick would be Alshon Jeffrey followed by Zach Ertz at tight end as their number two. But we were still waiting on that. Pardon?
Sorry, I was just going to transition with Jordan Matthews here. There's a lot of talk that maybe Jordan Matthews is a better player because he's playing out of the slot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I love the move for him because he has shown to be much better out of the slot. And I think a lot of it was he was misused a little bit positionally. He did have a lot of opportunities, though. There's no doubt. I mean, playing with Chip Kelly the first year with Peterson, they ran a lot of plays, and he was a little bit all over the place. But I think if we look back to when he came into the league, a lot of like the talent is there. What's messed him up? I mean, yes, he's been injured, ankle injuries, knee injuries. But obviously, that's not going to be good. And again, this press man coverage, he just hasn't shown the ability to be able to beat that consistently. So. You know, getting in the slot could be a good thing. What was this? In 2015, he was a wide receiver 17. And that was only with 85 catches. So if he can get back to anything close to that, last year he was outside the top 40. Or this year right now, he's ranked usually around, you know, just outside the top 40. So, I mean, if you can get a guy there outside of number 40 and he gets into the top 20, he's a value to me. And
right. Outside
of Alshon, you know, I do have Ertz as a breakout. We'll get into that probably next. I don't necessarily feel super confident about that, but somebody's catching passes there. So I think there'll be some volume there for Matthews if he can stay healthy and, you know, score maybe six touchdowns, which, you know, in 2015 he had eight. I don't necessarily see him getting back to that, but... I think that he should be a decent value come draft and could be a pretty good wide receiver 3 for the team that could probably get as a wide receiver 4 and 5.
Well, Slim, let's get into Zach Ertz. And right now we have him as a consensus tight end 11. Last year we ended the preseason with him around 9. So is he a better value right now in your auction, or is he about the same?
I think he's a decent value. I think there's upside there. That's why I kind of put him on this breakout list. The thing with Ertz so infuriating is, and Blister can probably speak to this as an owner, and I've had him in different leagues too. He's just inconsistent, and it's like golfing. He's always, at the end of the year, he gives you those couple big games, and you're like, oh, hey. There's the Zach Ertz I've been waiting for. Well, I better hang on to him a little bit longer. There it is. Yeah, he's ready to build off of that. It happens every year. It's like that one nice drive you nut on the golf course when you're slashing around all day and you think, you know what? Fuck it. I'm coming back tomorrow because I got something to build off. But yeah, he, to me, the biggest thing is, can he improve on his 4 touchdowns he had last year? If he can do that, there's no reason why he can't get into that, you know, tight end 5 range kind of thing. And that's what I'm relying on, actually, as a breakout. I don't know if he get it. I think he should be able to, and I'm going to give him one more year. I'm going on the record right now. This is my last year I'm ever going to list him as a breakout. If he fucks me this year, he's done for me. So if anybody's in a league with me where I own him, if he's shitty this year, you can come and get him for next to nothing. I'll trade him like I traded Sterling Shepard to everybody for a bag of shit. That's how much I wanted to hang on. I would have rather sold for a bag of shit than held on to him any longer. Put it that way.
And there you have it.
Well, I was just looking at some of his stats. 2014, when he came in, played 16 games, he had 4 or 5 double-digit games, 1 over 25 points. In the second year, he had 7 double-digit games, and 3 were over 20 points. And last year, he actually had 8 double-digit games, and again, 3 were over 20. One was his last game of the year when Dallas rested all of his starters was almost 39 points. But like Slim says, he has these double-digit games, and 11 is nothing to phone home about, but he has the first game of the year, 11.8 points, then he goes 6.7, 3.2, 2.4, 5.9. And that's the stuff that drives the guy crazy. Yeah, and then he sprinkles in a couple more games, 6.6 and 5.3. So it's tough. I mean, it's especially, I guess the toughest part of it is, you know, it's not like anybody else in Philadelphia was running roughshod over anybody. You know what I mean? Like there was nobody else that they were going to that was great. So, you know, Jordan Matthews finishes as a 48th ranked wide receiver. You know, they have running backs by committee and they're banged up half the time. So who are you relying on to get all your fantasy points and to move the ball?
Right.
And if you're not going to give it to Zach Ertz, I mean, when he gets it, he obviously does a good job, but there was nobody else there last year. So yeah, you would expect more because of the fact that there's not a lot of competition for targets. Now this year, you know, they bring in a couple other players, Alshon, Torrey, they got Jordan there still, and you know, Sproles is there in the backfield, he'll catch some passes. So yeah, you know, it's frustrating, but he ended up finishing, I think, top 6 last year, and that could keep his price up a little bit more yet this year. If guys have, it'll be more so for guys that haven't owned him, you know. A guy like Slim and I, if you've owned him or anybody who's owned him, they're probably going to say, nah, you know, at $8 or $9, they're probably going to say, nah, I'm not going to pay any more for that headache. And then somebody that hasn't owned him might jump on him, buy him for the first time at $9. And
right.
Get a tight end 3 over the course of the year, which will be really make it even worse. So put him on the hate list.
Hey, Slim, we didn't touch on Ligert. Do anything you want to mention there with his move to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think it's, again, a buyer beware scenario here. It's hard. Any guy, like, to me, he came from the perfect situation for them. He came on it from a team that ran a lot of plays, which the Eagles will run a lot of plays too, at least what they've shown the last couple of years. But to me, there's a big difference in the types of plays that the Patriots run versus the Eagles. And what I mean by that is the Patriots are putting points on the board. So either he's getting a lot of touches in the red zone or on the goal line, which is phenomenal if you're a goal line back, obviously, which Blunt typically is. Or they're playing with a lead because they're shit-stomping somebody because they play this. For example, they play the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins 6 times a year. And so they're up by 30 at half, and that means LeGarrette Blunt is going to get 30 carries now. So he's sustaining drives, he's fast to pick up first downs, things like that. I just don't see the same type of scenarios happening in Philly. One, they're not going to score as many points, so that's going to mean less red zone looks, it's going to mean less first downs, third shorts, things like that. So I don't know. I just think we're comparing apples to oranges, and if there's somebody in your league who's willing to buy Blunt based on what he did last year, then you have to let him because he's going to be overvalued then in your draft.
Is that Alexa in the background?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. She woke up.
What does Alexa? Why do they do that sometimes? Because like the other night,
was it really Alexa?
Yeah, I was.
Oh.
Does that in my house, too. He just starts coming out of nowhere, not even connected to anything.
Scared me, actually, when I was talking. I was like, what the fuck?
I don't like
that. You guys both have Alexa, and I'm the tech dude?
Yeah. Alexa can do a lot of stuff for you. Even when you don't want her to.
Not that good yet.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Speaking of not that good yet, Slim, let's take a look at Washington. They've gotten rid of a few guys. They've brought some guys in. The draft and the running back position is going to be a little bit, it's going to be an open market, I think. What do you think of Washington heading into this season?
I actually am kind of a Washington homer now. I own a lot of Washington guys on various teams, so I'm going to probably be pumping the tires way more than either you guys expect to hear in the next 5 minutes. So. But no, I mean, I like Kirk Cousins. I think he's shown he can sling it around. I think obviously they lost some big receivers. They brought in a couple, one. I think they're going to be asking some of the other young guys to step up. I kind of like what's happening there. Actually, I like Green coming in.
All right, so Blister, we look at a couple of the additions here. Terrell Pryor, a big addition to this receiving core that lost Pierre Garçon and D-Jax. What do you think of Pryor, the former quarterback, heading into this season?
Well, I know Slim's a lot higher on him than I am, and it's not that I'm not. I'm just a little nervous and skeptical because, he had a really amazing year last year. I kept expecting it, to be a flash in the pan, but he kept producing, all year long. He had a pretty solid season, and, I think he's going into a better situation with the quarterback now. Obviously, a team that likes to pass the ball, a team that, again, probably still has questions at running back, whether Rob Kelly can hold down the starting job. If Samaje Perine wins it, I think Chris Thompson is the guy in the backfield that will probably catch more passes. But at the same time, they might be going to their receivers more so yet. And so I think that Pryor is in a good spot, like Slim has mentioned in the article. And Jameson Crowder is another one that's a PPR guy that I think is really good as well. And, I guess the big question mark will Josh Doctson step up and be the receiver he was drafted to be? And I think that'll be the big question mark this year. But, Pryor, again, I'll let Slim speak to his love for him. Yeah. Cause like I said, I haven't, I'm just a little nervous. What's that? Go for it.
It is love. I do. I love Pryor.
The dynasty, you dynasty. Pick him up, I had him, I give him back to you, and then,
Yeah, that was a real little poke that we were doing with each other there. No, I mean, here's the thing with Pryor, he's 6'4", 233, runs a 4.41. According to Player Profiler, it's the 99th percentile speed score. I love receivers like this. He compares best to Demaryius Thomas. The knock that everyone wants to throw on him is, he hasn't played receiver that long. And I get that. He hasn't. But what I look at is he's just hashtag good at football. He's one of these guys that it doesn't matter what the fuck he does on the field. He's just better than most of the people that are out there. So, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop all last year. I'm thinking, oh, my God, man, I'm going to ride this guy. But if I get a good chance to sell, I'm selling. But most people were skeptical. And now I've kind of found myself going the other way. He's going to a team that wants to throw the ball, air it out. And this guy is big, physical, and can outrun just about everybody. He, to me, is...
Well, I think it's being surprising, man.
Well, it is, yeah. It's just he's faster than you, and he's bigger and can win contested catches. So, he can do everything you want a receiver to do. It's just he hasn't been doing it as long as some of these other guys. So now his age.
That's what I heard, Kirk Cousins.
But
no, I was just going to say Kirk Cousins is having a hard time with him because he's faster than he looks. He doesn't look like he's going to hit the mark, and then he's actually past the mark already. He's he's hard to read because of the way that he runs and his size and that.
Yeah.
You really got to work on getting on timing with him because he's deceptive. He looks like a linebacker running out there.
He's massive, athletic, and it's not even that he's playing with a good quarterback for his skill set, but, and again, here's the perfect kind of storm scenario. He's leaving it or joining a team where they just lost 200 receptions or something, and like, an insane amount of production. And just based on that alone, you would be pretty pumped to, so the 224 targets and over 2,000 receiving yards just vacated, gone. And he was the only guy really here that is coming in. Crowder was there before, Dotson was there before, even though he didn't do much, he was there before. So I just don't see how, like, I honestly do love him. I think that this guy could be a low-end wide receiver one pretty easily. So if you can get him for outside of that, I love that. Love it.
So, Blister, if we take a look elsewhere, I mean, I don't think we're too excited about Brian Quick, but Jameson Crowder and Docs, what do you see for their outlook this year?
I think Jameson Crowder should have a similar role. I mean, last year he finished up, I was just looking at it here, 30th ranked wide receiver, 67 grabs, 847 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So, you know, that was a pretty solid wide receiver 3, and I think that he can easily be a solid wide receiver 3 for you once again this year, because if Pryor and Doxson gather all the attention, he's going to see find himself open, plus Jordan Reed, right? So right. I like his chances. Again, I think he's going to be cheap in your auction. I mean, Pryor's going to go for, you know, probably, I feel like he could go for like 28, 30 bucks, and then Doxson, someone, you know, could, he's going to maybe go for a little bit more because there's what people think is high upside, although I'm a little more skeptical or worried because I haven't seen it yet. I need to see it first to really invest money in him. But I think because he hasn't done it, it should keep his price down. But I still think Crowder will be the cheapest of the three. And he could be, you know, for $3 or $4, or maybe $5 near the end of your auction. So pretty cheap wide receiver 3. Pardon?
Oh, no, if he can get him for that, that would be I was still in my pants, I think, actually. I think he's the safest, maybe the safest receiver you could get, maybe in the whole draft. We'll just call it all this year. Like, how does he do any less than what he did last year?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how that's even possible. He had 99 targets last year. I bet you he gets close to 150 this year.
Yeah, I bet you he does go up too. I think, but I think the reason I think he's going to be cheaper is because if you look at, you know, all the different names out there, I just think that by the time it comes to him on the draft board, everyone's going to have spent most of their money. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that are going to suck up a lot of money. And then I think you're going to really see a lot of money spent on the big running backs this year too, again. You know, and I think people are going to spend highly on the top 4 or 5 of them. So, and Gronk is back and probably healthy. So he's going to pull down some good money. So yeah, I think he'll be cheap at the end of your draft. It's a pretty good value.
I agree. I just think slot receiver. Just a slot receiver. Those guys don't score that many. The good ones do. In PPR leagues, they're league winners. So,
So Jordan Reed pretty much stays as is. Like, there's not a whole lot new to talk about there, right?
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
Injury risk, right? Pretty much how we can just sum it up for him.
And then, do we think P. Ryan takes over the RB1 in Washington, and then is he there for a draftable rookie?
Well, if he takes it over, it definitely is. I mean, if he could become a starter, for sure, right? I've drafted him in a couple of leagues now, and I've listened to a lot of pods myself. And, some guys love him, and some guys are a little more skeptical. I guess time will tell. I mean, it is kind of early yet. But even if he doesn't take over from day one starter, if you look at that list, Chris Thompson, I think no matter who starts, Chris Thompson is going to have his own role. It's not going to be affected by that. He's going to be a pass-catching running back. But I think Matt Jones wants out of town. You know, so it's going to be Kelly or P. Ryan, and then, you know, maybe Keith Marshall if he can stay healthy. So I think that, you know, and then Rob Kelly, if he stumbles or gets hurt, P. Ryan's right in there. So he's not a bad guy to take. I'm not going to compare him to David Johnson, but, you know, the same type of deal when David Johnson kind of, when he was a rookie, he didn't start out of the gate, but when he started playing, he won you a title because he was hot. He was hot through the playoffs and he was a good player. So if they got a great offense going, I mean, you know, he could get a lot of goal line opportunities, even just maybe he doesn't get, you know, the 1,000 yards, but if he's punching in touchdowns, kind of like LeGarrette Blount was last year, you know, and because they're on the goal line a lot with this offense, then, you know, he's going to be quite valuable. But again, auction price right now, I bet you he's $3 or $4.
Right. Yeah, I do it now, and probably like MFL 10s and those types of things are a great guy to stash,
For sure.
All right, so that's the NFC E, guys. Anything else you want to add about this division before we wrap her up?
Yeah, go everybody but the Cowboys.
Boo. I don't like that comment. I finally get to cheer for it. It's the first time in a while. It's good.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
On that note, I saw a guy on a side street in Niagara Falls. He had authentic jerseys in there, and I saw Cowboys went up, and I said, "Oi!" I didn't see a Cowboys up. I said, "Oh, you got a Cowboys jersey up there?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got a Romo." I said, "What are you selling it for? $5?" And he goes, No, it's the real deal. So it's 150. I'm like,
no. Throwback.
I guess, I mean, yeah, now it's a throwback. Yeah,
exactly. Classic.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the,
he doesn't play anymore, right?
Yeah. Right. He's not going to wear it in the booth.
Yeah.
Actually, I think he'll be good in the booth, mind you.
Yeah. Joy is.
I like your quarterback in there. His personality would be good to boots on the side, though. But anyways, that's about it. Okay, so anyways, that's NFC East. Go to the website, defansefootball.com. Give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Pretty please move us up the charts. That would be outstanding. If you're trying to work over your league mates and getting them into auction, head back onto the podcast about 4 episodes ago. We talk about why you should be doing auctions and, you know, what is an auction. You can steer your league mates that way. We've also gone through the AFC in the last podcast, and this is our first one of the NFC. Guys, I think we'll wrap it up. This took a lot longer than I thought, but it was good content. And you know what? This Thursday, I'm coming to men's night.
I might too.
So, I got my punch card. I'm getting my $100 back.
Oh,
Let's do this.
Yeah, a punch card too. The wives must have been talking.
Yeah,
Father's Day. But you know what?
I didn't get it for a Happy Father's Day. I paid for it.
Oh, I got one for Father's Day. That was the best thing I ever got.
I just got a new phone for Father's Day. So
nice.
I got an LG G6.
That's a new flip phone?
No, yeah, a brand new flip phone. It's wow. Pull up the antenna. Hold on. Gerald Everett just went at 302, by the way. And the comment after it was, suck it. So,
ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, probably. Anyways, okay, guys, so that's the end of the NFC. I'll see you guys. Are you going golfing some on Thursday? Or are you daddy duty? You have a cleanup duty because you're grad a dad.
No, high school grad.
What's that? Oh, grad night. Yeah, that's right. We're elementary guys now, so it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, well, I guess the Blister will see you on the golf course maybe. And Joe Williams just went. Healy just picked him up. And for everyone else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back.